or broadcast of Jefferson State of Mind.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul. It does.
There you go. We're settling. Are you sure?
It's settling. Everything's settling this morning.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Good morning from downtown hell, because it's hotter than it has been recently. Until yesterday, it wasn't so bad, right? Oh, man.
This is Terry Raposa and my partner, Wynn Carpenter. How you doing?
So far, so good. How about you, brother?
Oh, yo. That's just doing great. And we have a new producer, Nathan. How are you, brother?
Good morning. I'm good.
Good. Thanks for helping us out here, Nathan.
Yeah.
Sure thing.
He's got a smile on his face. Pretty smart, too. We like that.
Yeah.
We like smart producers.
Yeah.
Especially when they're finally given the information they need, huh, brother?
Can't just make it up.
Yeah. Can't just make it up. We'll do our best, though, huh?
Of course.
Make it up as we go along. Anyway, we're broadcasting live from downtown Reading, KCNR Studios, right down here in the middle of heat and mugginess.
Yeah, it's kind of humid today, huh?
Mm.
Was it that way yesterday? Because I left town early in the morning.
Yes.
It was, okay.
Huh. We're broadcasting live on 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, and 1460 AM, your talk radio.
Yep.
And we're streaming live on KCNR1460.com, KCNR1460.com.
There you go.
And we are archiving forever and ever and ever.
Hey, before we get started, I want to announce this little ditty that we've got going on here. We have on August 11th, which is a Thursday, we have a fundraiser for one of our local campaigns here for Chris Kellstrom. And if you want to participate in that, his phone number is 744-4539, 744-4539. And what we're doing is we're doing a fundraiser, and you can buy tables for $400 and or tickets for $50 each, however you want to do that. If you want to do individual ticket or if you want to do a table for eight at $400, all comes out to be about the same. And then dinner includes, you know, another $200 worth of raffle tickets, which is always good. It kind of keeps the excitement going when the raffles are going and so forth. But we're looking to do this, and it's going to be, again, August 11th, which is a Thursday evening, and it's going to be at the Gaia Hotel. So we're going to have the doors will open at 4 o'clock, and dinner will be at 6. And it'll have auction and all kinds of good fun stuff. So come check it out. And if you have any questions about that, give Chris a call at 744-4539.
And the guy has an extremely nice facility.
It is. Oh, it's air-conditioned, too.
That beautifully air-conditioned.
That was the big reason why we're going there. Is it's got AC, and, you know, we're in the heat of battle right now.
But it's so beautiful. It
AC
really is nice.
A good thing to have.
Anyway,
yes. Where do we go?
What's the risk of the cost of freedom? What is that risk?
Your life.
Exactly. There's a 3-minute video that'll be coming out, and you'll have available to you folks probably here by this afternoon. We've been doing some 6-minute, 3-minute, 4-minute videos on different things we can do with actual solutions and things that happen and really what's going on. And I think at this particular point in time, we have to realize what the risk is. The risk of not doing anything is losing more of everything. And that's what we're doing right now, is losing things. Whether you sit on the couch or you participate in anything to gain your freedom back, you're losing it. You know, and yeah, we all know, yeah, gee whiz, China's taken over, gee whiz, you know. Did you know that Biden was a bad guy? Oh, well, wait, did you know his son's a bad guy? Oh, by the way.
Because they're allowed to be.
Yeah.
And China's allowed to take over.
Yeah, so. Exactly. And that's exactly right. This is intentional. This isn't somebody being dumb or stupid right. or they don't know what they're doing. This is all intentional. And really and truly, the feces, I can say feces.
The
feces have hit the fan.
Hit the rotor blade, huh?
They have. And in fact, I can even say effing. Yes. Yeah, I can.
Yeah.
No, it's marginal.
Okay. E-F-F-I-N-G.
I'm getting marginal here. Okay.
Yeah, you can spell it.
Okay, until we get this guy broken in.
Push the boundaries.
You got to hear our podcast. So the point is that what do? Okay, the first thing we have to do is we have to look at this three-pronged attack that we have to have in our counties. Our counties have to, first of all, win back the supervisor seats. The jurisdiction of a supervisor is enormous. Mm-hmm. They have control over most of the money. Whatever money the state of California doesn't have control over, the supervisors pretty much have control over.
That's right.
Now, that's called discretionary and mandatory spending. Mandatory spending is when you send your tax dollars in and your county sends your tax dollars in and you get that money back. California mandates...
From Sacramento with strings attached?
With strings attached, and they mandate, well, they don't even have strings attached. They tell you what you can use the money for. So when you're looking at 83 to 85% of that money coming back, and California saying you will use it for this, 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 and this, that leaves you around 15%, 13 to 15%.
So then how about this? Why don't we stop sending it to Sacramento? Because if we send it down there, it gets, contaminated with their idiotic ways. So if we just keep it in our county and we do what we need to with it at our discretion within our county by the Board of Supervisors who are elected to serve the people here locally, and we take Sacramento out of the equation, wouldn't we be a hell of a lot better off?
Yeah, and I'm going to try to keep Nathan's hand away from the button. This takes stones.
Yes, it does.
It does take stones.
It does.
Yeah, I'm getting the thumbs up. He's okay. So I've been good so far, right,
what
Nathan?
What is the state going to do? Remove a whole board of supervisors?
Well, here's the deal. Let's explain to the folks
Elected by the people?
How the money works. Okay, first of all, the money works in that there's mandatory spending you can't do anything about. We should, and the solution is what Wynn just said, and that is we hold the money back, don't send them anything. But in essence, where you don't have any supervisors that have the stones to do it. Well, probably a couple in this county.
Well, we do a couple
two,
here, yeah.
I mean, maybe three down the road. But anyways, we look at this, then you have discretionary spending. Now, what's discretionary spending? That's police, fire, fixing your road, blah, 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 DA, sheriff's department, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
So that is discretionary. Now, the supervisors have control over that money. They have control over, let's say, example, health and human services, not so much in that department, but they have control over portions of the budget, and they have control also over, in fact, they do have control over the budget,
mm-hmm.
and they have control over whom is hired as the head of that particular department.
Absolutely.
Okay, so they have that jurisdiction. They have jurisdiction over the sheriff's department in the money. And then, yeah, the sheriff, yeah, he can do what he wants constitutionally, blah, 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 blah. But point being is that they control his purse strings. So there's the supervisors. Then there's a thing called the school boards. Now, we had a race for the superintendent of schools for mm-hmm. Shasta County.
Right, right.
And basically that particular person is sort of a figurehead and makes sure that the money goes in the right places.
Right.
That's all it is. The boards are the ones who say, hey, this is the curriculum we have. This is what you can do and can't do. This is what you're allowed to do and not allowed to do, which means the school board really has the power. Again, we talk about jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
Who has jurisdiction? The school board. We need to take control of the school boards. And thankfully for people like Arthur and Katie Gorman, Marty and Krista Reed, the Fowlers, people like the Vengays, Lonnie and Karina. I mean, I can go on and on and on with all these great young couples that are getting engaged in local politics and understanding that that's where the power is local politics. That's where the power is. That's where it lies. It lies within, in the colonial days, the townships, the cities, and the small hamlets. That's where the power lays. That's your local government.
And also, as the representation gets smaller, they have more power. Therefore, the school district, which is a district for a certain area of jurisdiction, there's more power within that because then they are closer to the people because there are fewer people being represented. Therefore, there's more power within that district. So people if you think you have no power with your school board, you're absolutely wrong. You go there, you do what you need to do. If you need to get on that school board to get things turned around, absolutely do it. Filing deadline is going to be looming here pretty soon, so you can file now. So I strongly encourage people to do that.
The third thing we need to do is to make sure we have eyes on, hands on, ears in, you name it, in the ROV office, Registrar of Voters office. We have to make sure that we have that county clerk being held accountable. And the other thing we have to do on sort of a caveat on those three things, or a caveat in from those three things, is to make sure that we get this thought out of our minds. There is no such thing as a nonpartisan candidate. There is no such thing as a nonpartisan candidate. Please write that down.
To say that is ignorant.
To say that, because if you are a candidate, you have a party affiliation. Mm-hmm. Kathy Darling Allen is a Democrat. Her party affiliation creates some kind of influence on her in what her beliefs are, first of all, and where she will go, second of all. She believes in the Dominion machine. The Republican side of that is they don't like the Dominion machine for the most part. The Democrat side is we don't want voter ID, which she doesn't want voter ID. The other side of that is we want voter ID. The drop boxes are loved by Kathy Darling Allen. The mail-in ballots are loved by Kathy Darling Allen. Those are all democratically held positions by the Democrat Party. There's no such thing as a nonpartisan office. That is the stupidest.
Yep.
I know I can say effing. You know why I know? Because I heard Dan Bongino say it. And I've heard other people say it.
But he's got money. He can pay his fine.
And that can mean all kinds of things. That mean farming.
Farming. Yep.
Let's use the word form. We'll use the word form.
No, you're good.
I'm getting there.
Yeah.
So there's no forming way that this particular person who is in this office doesn't have anything. I'm talking about Kathy Darling Allen, but a democratically held position in what she does.
It's a Democrat held position.
Democrat, not democratically.
Two different words. Two different meanings. Everybody has to get their heads wrapped around that.
You're right.
First and foremost.
Thank you.
Democrat held position.
Thank you, voice of reason.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, so those are some of the things we have to start looking at. You know, another thing we need to do in our communities, I'm going to say this, arm yourself.
Absolutely.
You need to have something, whatever that may be, to protect you and your family. I don't care. Maybe you have a slingshot.
Yep.
Maybe you have mace. Maybe you have a shotgun. Maybe you have something a little stronger than a shotgun.
A squirt gun with bear spray.
Whatever. The point is we need to all get smart and make sure we have protection. The police are not obligated to do anything. That is not saying the police don't do their job. That's not what I'm saying here. I'm saying they are not legally obligated to do anything.
And they can't.
That's right.
They physically cannot unless they happen to be at a scene where something breaks out.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's two, it's like 845, 847, something like that. Mark Baird knows those. I don't remember them, but I know it's in the 8s and it's in the 40s that the police have no obligation.
Mm-hmm.
And legally they can't. You know, legally, I mean, you can't really sue them for not doing this or that or helping. You know, look what happened in Texas. What a travesty that was.
Right.
What did they wait, an hour?
Yeah.
To go in there while people are getting murdered? I mean, the insanity of let's get more police is, to me, to a degree, is a little bit crazy. You know, 605-4567, 530-605-4567, and I want to make sure I clarify that. Do we need police? Absolutely. Should we fund the police? Absolutely.
Yes.
But do we need a whole bunch of police where we should have the people doing it? Now, what about community watches? And I'm not talking about what do they call it, Citizens Watch, what do they call that? Neighborhood Watch. I'm talking about community watches where people are armed with something to where they can protect what they need to protect. And enough of this, people get robbed, especially in the rural areas, they get robbed, and while their stuff is being taken and they're being robbed, if they defend themselves or they try to stop the person from stealing what they're stealing with some sort of device or some sort of mechanism or weaponry to stop them from taking their stuff, they can be in trouble. And that's where the police go. They go after that person.
Mm-hmm.
What sense does that make? Now, again, this is not a slam on the police. This is just simply reality. The police cannot protect you. Do we need them? Absolutely. The sheriff's department can't protect you. Look at Lassen County. Lassen County has, what, two deputy sheriffs on at any given shift? Two? Right. Two? And the size of that county is the size of Rhode Island.
Yeah.
Are you serious? Now, how are they supposed to get there? I know we had a good friend named Gil Gilbertson, who was the past sheriff of Josephine County in Oregon. And the Board of Supervisors was extremely liberal, and Gil was not. And, of course, they have open carry up there. And so, at least they did. Mm-hmm. This is 10 years ago. And Gil was down to 7 deputies for that whole county. Now, he just finally told people, unless it's life-threatening, we're not coming, so you better arm yourself and take care of stuff yourself. Now, Gil retired. He was a real constitutional sheriff, and there, you know, aren't too many of those, but he was one, even though they all should be constitutional because they take an oath of the Constitution of the United States and the state of whatever state they're in.
Right.
So, what we have here is we have the position of a sheriff saying, okay, you need to protect yourselves, and here's what you need to do. You need to have community watches. We need to do that here in Shasta County. We need to do that in every county. Again, the militias are great. The militias are great people. I think that we should be helping and funding, and if you're old and fat like me, you can't do a lot of things physically as you once were able to. Some things, but not some.
Well, you do what you can.
You do what you can.
Yeah.
But, the local militias aren't a bunch of people running around with camouflage in the forest. They help with fires. They help with missing people. They help, after any kind of natural disaster. They're out there in the community. They take kids to camps where they teach them the Constitution, the Bible, et cetera.
Community watch.
Community watch, where they're watching over communities. This has to get really serious. Because if you don't understand what's happening right now in this state, then you're mistaken. There is a new film out called Narcofornia.
Yep.
And
that was really, really good.
Yeah, I watched it last night. I came away with a couple of thoughts, and we'll talk about this, and then if we go into the break, maybe a little bit after, because mm-hmm. these are a couple of thoughts I had, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on it. In fact, I'd like to hear, if you've watched it, your thoughts on it, 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. There's a couple of things I came away with. Virtually the sheriff departments, they're just, all those different departments that have to fight those grows are overwhelmed. They're not getting any help. At the end of that program, there is a Republican representative, staffer, that talks about, Newsom's a real burden. Well, duh, Newsom's the problem. I get that. We all get that. The thing is if we get a Republican in, are we going to get any help from the state? Who would that be? We need to get help from the state in going after these illegal grows. From what I understand, if I recall, there's like 2,000 illegal grows in the North State.
Mm-hmm.
Getting back to the film, every town hall they had or every time they had groups of people they were interviewing, did you notice that they were all senior citizens?
Of course they are.
Every one of them was a senior
citizen.
Because
they're not working at the time. They're most likely retired.
Yeah.
And they can attend these meetings, whereas the working man and woman may or may not be able to.
And you're right about that.
In Shasta County,
70% of the people are a lot younger than I am that go to those meetings.
Yep.
Again, you've got the people like the Reeds, the Gormans, the Bengays, the Zapatas,
McEwans,
You can go on and on and on with all these young couples. When I say young, and this is the demographic we need to be looking at, I'm talking about 30-ish to about early 40s. That demographic right there where people are settled in, they have a family, they have a means, they have a decent income, they understand what's going on in their country, they're getting engaged and involved in their school boards.
Yep.
Their school boards.
And some of them are teachers.
Some are
healthcare professionals, you name it, stay-at-home moms, you name it. It's a plethora of people and professions that are there.
So my question is during those interviews and stuff, where were the young people? I get it that these are landowners and they're getting screwed. They're really getting screwed. Okay. And they've got these landowners that are out there and these folks that are out there and all these different people from these rural areas that are out there, and they're talking about how awful all this stuff. And they're right about how awful it is. The water, the pollution, you name it. It's awful. Where are their kids and grandkids? Where are their nephews and nieces? There's the youngest guy in the whole film was a guy who owns a collective. He sells marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
He was the youngest guy in the whole thing. And he was standing up against illegal grows, against them, partially because it hurt his business.
I'm sure.
So my takeaway from a lot of that was, number one, that, you know, where are the young people in some of these counties like Siskiyou, and where are they?
Well, and one thing that I took away from that, I have had a question about that. They didn't have any county employees interviewed. They didn't label any of those. They didn't have anybody from the assessor's office that I noticed. They didn't have anybody from planning department or the, you know, permits office, what have you. They didn't have any of those folks on film being interviewed. And I know firsthand what it's like to go out upon Groves, because I worked at the assessor's office for almost 9 years and here in Shasta County. And I have unknowingly driven up on marijuana grows, meth labs, you name it, out in the rural parts of the county. Most of my work area was in District 3, parts of District 3, and you're talking Big Bend, Round Mountain, Whitmore, Montgomery Creek. I mean, you're talking Hatchet Mountain, Bella Vista. I mean, the whole area is all rural out there, and I would run across those every once in a while. And the worst one for me was out in Big Bend area, on the way to Big Bend, out under PG&E lines. I was taking this road to go view some properties that I had to go view, because that was my job. You go out and document the properties as to what you see on it, and you take photographs as proof of that, you know, yes, you found the property, and it's part of the record, the property record for the assessor's office. Well, I would go out there, and I got confronted by two guys with guns, and they didn't speak English, and I didn't speak whatever they were speaking, and I couldn't get out of there fast enough. And I was out of my rig at the time, because I got out of my rig to take the photos, because it was off the edge of the road. And heck, I didn't know they were there, and they were yelling at me and everything else, and I was like, put my hands up and whatnot. I was not allowed to carry, because each office for the county has an MOU with the sheriff's department, memo of understanding, that that you don't carry. And I already had a CCW, and I was not allowed to carry for self-defense going out into those areas when I would run across those.
That's insane.
And that wasn't the first one, nor was it the last one. But that one was very visible to me and a good reminder, because the others that I ran across were just single people with a gun, whereas that one had two guys each having a gun, and they were the ones that I saw. I don't know who else was out there that didn't see. So that always made me kind of nervous about going out there. But when I left the office, I told my supervisor exactly where I was going, to which APNs I was going to, in order, so that if I didn't make it back or whatever, then they would have an idea of where to go look for me if they chose to do that. So I just wanted to let you know that that's what it was like. And I've been out of the office for 7 years now.
Yep.
Yeah, 7 years now. And that's what it was like back then. So how much worse is it now? And are these offices sending women out into these fields? And when I left, I told them never, ever, ever send a woman to work in my work area. Never do that. Because I knew their policy was they'd send you out by yourself. Never, ever, ever send a woman out there by herself. And I'm not being sexist. I'm being protective, because that's the way I was raised. And, you know, it's one thing to send a guy out there, and I wouldn't want to send a guy out there, but by golly, somebody needs to step up and take care of it so it gets fixed by getting these criminals out of there, so that our county employees can go out and do their job safely. That's it.
You know, and that's spot on. And now you've heard it from someone who's been there and done that. And that's you're right. That wasn't in there. There was nothing like that in there. We have a little bit of that, where they have some of that in the, I forget what episode it is, but in the Red, White, and Blueprint, they talk about that,
mm-hmm.
about coming up in these illegal grows and people who used to work for the county. You know, but again, you know, a lot of the takeaway from that was, well, okay, we need to get rid of Gavin Newsom. Okay. All right.
Okay.
But really and truly, you know, where are we getting the help?
It's the legislature.
It's the legislature. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, people.
People voted for legalizing marijuana. And I want to talk about that, because we are going to have to go after the break. It looks like Nathan is on the phone. So we'll see what's going on over there. But anyway, the thing I think that you take away from that is that what's the solution? And it seemed to have the bias of get rid of Newsom. So, you know, those are the kinds of things that you say, well, gee whiz, okay, that totally makes sense. But how do you do that when we have all these different things happening with the ROV offices, and brings us right back to where we were?
Exactly.
Richard, We're going to have to go off to our break, but I guess, can we wait? We can wait about 3 or 4 minutes. Sure we can.
Okay.
So, Richard, I want to bring you on, brother, and then we can, then we'll wait to go on our break. So, Richard, what say you?
Rich, you
there, Richard,
buddy?
Are you there?
Hello, Rich.
My name is Dick.
Oh, hey, Dick.
Oh, Dick. Well,
Dick Wilkinson. Hey, brother.
Okay, Dick. How you doing?
You know, I got that video of Narcophonia from Aaron Ryan.
Right.
Yep.
I wrote back. I said, Aaron, thanks for the pot video. We need the National Guard, a few thousand, to clean up the mess and keep the folks from crossing the border again. Biden says the border is secure. Ain't that great? And she wrote back, most were already in the country. Unfortunately, the border isn't our biggest issue. The National Guard, they're deployed by the governor. It's important to note that all this is all private property, and you just can't roll in and run them out. We've got warrants, et cetera, that slow us all down. It's a big case of them using our Constitution against us. That's what she wrote back. So I thought we could just send the National Guard and wipe them all out, but because of the Constitution, we can't do it.
That's right, and she's right.
And so these illegals are protected by our Constitution?
I call BS on that.
What we'll do, we're going to have to go off the break. We'll go to the break, and then what we'll do is, go ahead.
I'll just hang up right now. I just wanted to read that to you.
But yeah, and we'll discuss that, because she's right about that as far as the jurisdiction goes. She's right about that, and we'll talk about that after the break.
Okay, thank you.
All right, brother.
Okay, thanks, Dick. Take care. Tell Fran hi.
Okay, well, time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
This is your Mortgage Minute, brought to you by Mortgage Matt with Megastar Financial.
Hey, Mortgage Matt here with Megastar Financial. Now is an amazing time to buy. Interest rates have been lower than they have ever been, but the thing that's different about this refinance boom is house prices are up and they're continuing to appreciate. For every 1% that interest rates go down, you qualify for 10% more on your buying power. In the midst of this digital age, there is still great value in having a person that can hear about your situation and come up with the best mortgage plan, loan type for your particular circumstance. There is great value in meeting with a lender who is local that you can meet with face to face. Please feel free to give me a call. I'd love to set up a time to meet and figure out the best game plan for your situation.
To learn more about your home buying options, contact Mortgage Matt. Call 999-9000, Megastar Financial, America's most trusted mortgage lender. NMLS 1162668.
We're back.
Yes.
Good job, Nathan. Anyway, we were talking about what the Dick had called in, and he had talked about what the response was from Aaron Ryan, which is a good response. We can't send the National Guard onto private property, but there is a thing called posse comitatus. And there was a law in 1878 that was passed, basically, where because the federal government can't put federal troops into cities and all that sort of stuff. That's why when all this stuff is going on in Washington, people are claiming, why doesn't the president send in troops? Well, they can't. It's illegal to do that. But we do have posse comitatus. Now, that would be where the sheriff of the county, similarly to what the sheriff in Siskiyou County did, who seems like at least from what I've seen, a bright star, brought in a lot of people from the outside to help. He deputized a lot of people. This is the power that the sheriff can use. And the sheriff, I'm sure, here in Shasta County, to a degree, has used that and should use that and did use that on some of these illegal grows. But, again, it's the type of thing where how does changing the governor make a difference? Now, believe me, there's no one that wants to get rid of Gruesome Newsom more than I do. But how does that change it? And that was sort of the end of that particular film, that documentary, Narcofornia, was, well, if we get rid of Newsom, that's going to help and get the Republicans in there. Well, okay, but you still have to have the sheriffs use their jurisdiction with posse comitatus. Now, Shasta County has been pretty big on that. We have, 12, 15,000 CCWs, people who are trained in that regard. We have a lot of people that understand how a bulldozer works, et cetera. So the different things that could be done, we could have people in the rural counties help. The challenge is again, at the border, and she's right about that, too. See, the border is not the jurisdiction of the state. The state can't do much on the border. They can use Border Patrol and blah, 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 once people come across and invade and try to... But really, the jurisdiction, according to the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 4, the jurisdiction of naturalization, that's all under the federal government. So we have to wait on the federal government. Remember that thing that we created, the states created, in the compact they had, they created the federal government. That's why you have the 10th Amendment, where anything that's not been enumerated to the federal government and given to them to do in the Constitution of the United States, is left to the states themselves, because the states have the power. And so that's something I think that's very, very important to understand, is the fact that, she's right in regards to the fact that nothing really can be done until the federal government does something in a lot of regards on the border. Now, if she's saying they're already here, that also makes sense too, because the people who are out in these forests holding these holding their weapons and trying to stymie, and in fact, in one case, it was shown in this film that I don't remember whether the fellow who was shot twice was worked for Fish and Wildlife, or he worked for the Sheriff's Department. I don't know which, but I know he was shot twice, and they had to wait like 3 hours to get him out of there or something.
Yeah,
and which is horrible, And the battle here really is, again, we go back to local. We always seem to fall back into that local environment.
Where the people are.
And where the Board of Supervisors has so much power. And people just don't get that. And they will deny it because, again, lack of stones.
And they will say, it's not my jurisdiction.
And they'll say,
they
won't
even say that. We're not able to. They don't even understand the words jurisdiction, nullification, any of that interposition. They don't seem to want to operate with those things in mind. And we are very fortunate here in Shasta County. We have a couple that are, and they're willing to do that. And that's why we're having these elections. We're going to have another one or two put in there that do as well, so that we can clean this up. They can give directive to the sheriff to do something because they hold the purse strings. If he wants certain programs or certain things within his department, he's going to have to act on these requests from the Board of Supervisors, which are coming from the citizens of cleaning up our county. So they need to get out there and do that. They need to partner up with other neighboring counties and their sheriff's departments and their militias, if you will, and their posses. They can pull all that together, and they can just sweep our counties. And the sooner they do that, the better off we will all be.
The militias are a good thing.
Yes,
and a very, very good thing. And I think that, again, this craziness, these bad raps that they really have, that's just your law-abiding citizens protecting what's ours and what's theirs and what's all of ours.
Right.
And, you know, again, what's the cost of freedom? You really don't have to do anything except sit on your couch, but they're going to take it from you anyway. So it really gets to a point of where we have to stand. Now, first of all, the sheriff's department, having a sheriff that's not just a rubber stamper, a plaything for the supervisors, or just someone who really doesn't stand on their own or has other aspirations, isn't someone who's going to help in a county. You have to have that power to where if you're the chief law enforcement officer of the county, act like it. And also, if you are the if you hold the power and your only job is to protect the rights of the sovereign, because your main and number one job is Article 20 in the California Constitution, where you take your oath of office to defend the United States Constitution and the Constitution of the state of California. It's not whether or not you're backing up to a social contract. In fact, there is no jurisdiction. I'll say this twice. There is no jurisdiction of a sheriff saying you can't open carry. There's no jurisdiction. The Supreme Court right now, the Supreme Court with their court case in New York that did say in their opinion that you didn't need, to show cause to have a weapon, because basically it's to defend yourself. It's a right. Why is the Second Amendment the only right we have to get permission for?
Yeah.
And I've said this 100 times, and maybe Sheriff Johnson, I'll give him credit. Maybe he has changed his position. But when he told me, he goes, I believe in the Second Amendment. I am a firm believer in the Second Amendment, but I won't allow an exposed weapon. Well, how can you have the word allow and right be in the same sentence? It's sort of like, okay, I believe in free speech, but I won't allow you to have your free speech in this particular venue or here or there. Now, how does that work? And so
it doesn't.
If you have 15,000 CCWs, that could be low or high, I don't know which, then those people, it's all the discernment of when they use the weapon, not the discernment of whether or not where they carry it. It's when you use it. That's what you get trained about.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter whether you have it in your pants or you have it on underneath a coat. And then if your coat comes open, you're open carrying. So, I mean, it's kind of like if you're a gal and you're walking around and you have a shawl on and maybe you have a shoulder holster and the wind comes up and you straighten your shawl, all of a sudden you're showing your weapon.
Well, the thing is, you're not brandishing it. It's just exposed. There's a difference.
But I will not allow an exposed.
Yeah. Yeah. Why?
The word was exposed.
Are people scared of weapons? If so, that goes back to training.
Training. 45 states in the United States have open carry.
Cars are more lethal than guns.
Cars are much more lethal. Hammers are more lethal.
And we give kids the right to drive here in the permission to drive here in California, 16. Well, if they can drive a car, why can't they carry a gun?
Well,
I know growing up carrying guns, we had a healthy respect for them. We knew what to do with them. We knew what not to do with them. We knew how to take them apart and put them back together and clean them, because that's what we had to do to maintain them. When I was growing up in our high school even, there were guns in the gun racks of all the pickups, or most of the pickups, when I was growing up. A lot of the kids would go out hunting before school or even hunting after school, depending on the season. Or just had them there because you never know what you're going to be running across, because I lived in a rural part of the county. You just never knew what you're going to run across. And when they were parked in the parking lot, 9 times out of 10, those pickups weren't locked, and they had a gun set in them. And we never had a problem with a weapon of any kind the entire time I was growing up there. It never happened.
Siskiyou Steve, what say you, sir?
Yes, sir. Good morning, y'all.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Mark Baird's out there flying around bombing the fire up here big time, and those guys are doing a hell of a job. They've the wind changed yesterday. It was heading to Yreka, and they were putting the alert out for, pack it up, get ready. And so I started packing it up. and I started noticing all the stuff around my yard and how important all that stuff is to me. And if I leave, what's going to happen? And so I kept all my ammo and stuff on the, you know, the kitchen table, just thinking, well, if I have to leave, I don't know. I got to protect my property here because the looters will be right behind us leaving.
Yep.
And I know you guys down there are very familiar with that. You had a huge fire down there a couple years, and many people had to come up against that question. And it really brings to the forefront, you know, what this is really about. You know, the ammo, the weapons, and where do you stand? And I really appreciate you guys. I want to say, if anybody's listening up here in Siskiyou, we got to get a radio station together because, you know, I don't do Facebook because it's part of the corruption. So I'm kind of sitting here looking for information. You know, my wife does do Facebook, so she gets information from the grapevine. But, you know, without a local radio station, we're kind of lost, and we don't get the information out like you guys do, and you keep repeating yourselves over and over and over again, which is so valuable because every day people are waking up, and you guys are doing one hell of a job, and thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, brother, and be safe. Now, did you have to evacuate? Are you home still or what?
No, I didn't. No. The wind changed, and I called Mark and said, what do you think? Are we safe tonight? And he thought so.
Oh, good, buddy.
I have another buddy driving a bulldozer, and it looks like it laid down, but they're waiting for the winds to come up again. And
gotcha.
You know, the heat is up here 101 again today.
Oh, but yeah, I know.
Anyway, Wairika's safe for the moment anyway.
All right, brother.
Okay. Again,
keep me posted, okay?
Absolutely. Thanks, you guys.
All right, brother.
Thanks,
you.
Steve.
Looks like we have Richard on the line.
Good morning, Richard.
Richard. We had Richard on the line.
Somebody
hung up.
So anyway, yeah, Richard, if you want to call back, feel free to do so. Anyway, yeah, I mean, you know, when you look at all these different things that are happening, it's like Wynn was saying, we do a podcast. We're doing one tomorrow. It'll be premiering tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. We are going to have Mark Baird on as our guest on the podcast. It'll be a half-hour podcast premiering tomorrow night.
As soon as he gets out of the air from bombing Wairika.
Yeah. Well, he's not bombing because I talked to him this morning.
Oh, he's not. Okay,
no.
Good.
So, but anyway, we'll have him on tomorrow. He's coming down. And we'll do a half an hour, and that'll premiere on Monday. You can go to mountaintopmedia.com, and watch it there. Or you can go to Facebook and watch it there, or you can go to Rumble and watch it there, et cetera. So, was that Richard who called back again or no?
Yep. Okay.
So anyway, I think that the thing we have to look at is these things are done intentionally. No one is this stupid. It's just like with these marijuana grows. It is kind of a head scratcher in thinking that the taxes that are received from these grows or from these, legal, marijuana shops, would be something that Newsom would want. And would really want to stop the illegal flow because that cuts into the tax money. Unless there's money coming in
yes.
we don't know about.
Yep.
Which is a very good possibility.
Yes, sir.
And we do. Is it Richard again? It is. He's nodding. Okay, Richard. You're there now.
Hey.
Oh, hey.
I'm on internet phone call. Somebody's screwing with my cell phone again.
Okay.
So. I keep hearing you say the word stones. I'm not sure if that was code to have me call in or not.
I forgot the end of that. It should be stones of iron.
Stones of iron.
Stones
yeah,
of iron. Stones of iron.
Hey, some quick updates. Things are going okay with trying to recruit school board candidates. I would still love to have many more, about 85 seats up right now. So get a hold of me, please. Let's get some more folks to run for school boards. It's working okay, but we need a lot more folks. And then the Second Amendment resolution, it is very close to being approved by California Rifle Pistol in Fullerton. They approved the draft last week and suggested a couple of small edits, which I have sent back to them. So we will likely get a 2A resolution endorsed by CRPA in the next couple, 3 weeks.
Great.
And I've already talked to our supervisor regarding when we will be presenting that publicly very soon. That's going to be a big day in Shasta County, so that's coming soon.
Is that going to be going to all counties?
Say that again?
Is that going to be going to all counties?
Well, once it's passed here, it'll be up to the rest of the CRPA chapters and CRPA Fullerton if they want to entertain something similar or whatever. But so, you know, we're going to start it here.
Okay.
Yeah. Richard, can you give people where they can get a hold of you? They, you know, we have people listening that don't know that. So you are heading up, getting people and teaching them what to do as far as that stuff goes for the school boards.
Yeah.
There were about 90-something seats, and now you see there's 84 left. So how did they get a hold of you? And if you could speak up a little bit more for the folks, that'd
all
be
right.
Good. Go ahead.
Yeah, so the correct number is about 84 seats that are available. So we need about 84 to run. My contact information is my email, rjgallardo, G-A-L-L-A-R-D-O, at protonmail.com. So get a hold of me there. I'll put you in the loop. So, yeah, things are going on. There's a night scheduled meeting already for August 30th, Board of Supervisors. It's already on the calendar. It's the last night meeting calendared for this year. We're going to try to make that evening, we're going to try to add the Second Amendment resolution for that evening on August 30th, already scheduled. So that's tentative right now, but I think we're going to be able to do that.
What time does that start?
They're normally 5:30 p.m. Start time for
okay.
those meetings. So
thank you.
As it gets once we get the full endorsement back from Fullerton, we'll be blasting it out far and wide to get hopefully several hundred people there that evening.
Perfect.
So, all right, guys.
All right.
All right, brother.
Well, thank you, Rich.
Thank you, Richard, and thanks for all you do, buddy.
Yes.
Okay, so
he's a patriot fighting the fight.
Yeah, he is. You know, and then there's another guy. Okay, there's another guy who's out there fighting, has a son in school, and you know, out there a parent that cares. And you know, and we'll go back to a lot of this stuff. A lot of people listen to a lot of these pundits, these great speakers that go across, and we pay so much money for this one, and so much money for that one, and so much money for this one, and so much money for that one. Some of their fees can be as much as $10,000, and that's to speak for maybe an hour, 2 hours. Hanging out for the weekend, you got to pay their expenses. You got to pay, and they come out. And I'm trying to find one of these pundits that we hear that actually has done something. Dinesh D'Souza's one. Chris Ann Hall, who goes around, but she teaches. She teaches the Constitution, which is vital. It's
oh, yeah.
totally vital. Those two, and I'm trying to think of someone else. Now, I'm not talking about people who are on podcasts here. I'm talking about people that, you know, Rogan, those guys are doing it, Rogan, rather.
Right.
Those guys are doing their thing, and that's good. But the point is that, really, what do they do? What does so-and-so do or so-and-so do? Or, well, we're going to go see this guy, and he's doing, well, what do they really do?
Well, I have a question, too. How many of them are California residents that are actually affected by all the baloney that goes on here in California? The laws that are here that are here in California that are so restrictive compared to, I don't know, say, Texas or
New Mexico, Arizona,
anywhere in the Midwest. I mean, Florida. I mean, how many of them are actually from California that are actually feeling the pinch? And I'm talking about the taxes, all the money that we have to spend on gasoline, property tax, you know, going up, property rates going up. I mean, all the stuff that we here physically live day to day. How many of them are actually from California that
yeah.
are telling us, okay, do this, do this, do this, but they don't have the background, the experience, and the knowledge to understand what we're going through
well,
to put it together?
That's the spooky part, because a lot of people that are doing that, even a lot of people running for office, have no clue of what the Constitution says. And I'm talking about Republicans. And they have no, they understand the game. They understand the political game. They know who's who and who's what. And, oh, did you know so-and-so is speaking or, you know, Colonel so-and-so or
yeah.
blah, blah, blah and blah, blah, blah. And what do they bring to the table? Nothing. You know, you have people, you know, that come to the table and they talk about, you know, like Seth when he was talking about, you know, a lot of the different things is, when it comes to voter fraud, et cetera.
Right.
Very good, you know, very good. Okay, so there's a guy who's worth his salt, and there are those out there, but most of them is just the bloviation of what's going on. It's just, and they get paid good money for that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what have they really done? You know, and I'm not specifically going to get into people, but I think most people understand that. Here's where the strength is. This is the strength. And I had a conversation with a friend who is running for United States Senate again. And I had a conversation with him this morning. It was kind of like, you know, well, you know, if so-and-so wants to get into this, how do they even know what's going on in California? In fact, a lot of these people, as Wynn said, aren't from California. A lot of them have written off California,
mm-hmm.
saying you can't save that mess. You may as well move.
Right.
Well, they're right about that. We need to move, but it's easier to move a state line for the state of Jefferson than all the crap I have in my house.
Or break the entire state up into multiple states.
Yes, and that's the point. And so, you know, that's something else we'll be moving into. And really and truly, what's happening here is you have the people who are boots on the ground. And I go back to Arthur and Katie Gorman. They're boots on the ground. They're getting out there and doing stuff. They're you know,
knocking on doors.
And you know, I'm not discounting. I mean, Alyssa McEwen was marvelous during the recall. I'm not discounting any of these people, or Lonnie and Karina, fantastic people. You know, the Fowlers, all these great young couples. You know, these couples that are out there and they're fighting like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing it. Those are the heroes, not these pundits that are out there bloviating. Did you know Biden was a bad guy? Oh, did I say he was a bad guy? Did you know the guy was a crook? Did I say he was a crook? Did you know he was a crook? Did you know that? Did you really know it? Did you know his son's a crook? Did you know that? Did you really know that? Did you know he's a bad guy? I mean, it's just ridiculous. And the idea of taking the federal government and the pundits, a lot of people on Fox News, showing the federal government as the foremost and forefront, do they realize that the federal government is the product of the compact of the states?
Yeah.
And so that's why powers not delegated by the states. Think about that. How can you delegate something to someone if, in fact, you have a contract with them? There's no delegation there. It has to be an agreement. The agreement's between the states, not between the federal government and the states. And that's what people don't understand. And frankly, I talked to several people who didn't understand that the Constitution is a compact, a special kind of contract. A compact is a contract between legitimate legal nations, governments, etc. As Jefferson said, the state of Virginia is likened to the state of Spain, France, and England. When he said that, that means the state of Virginia was a country. These 13 countries got together. They created a federal government to do things that they would delegate to them to do until they decided to change it, if they decided to change it, and that would be through the process of amendment. Two-thirds getting together, three-quarters of the two-thirds agreeing that they're either going to change something or leave it alone, and then the federal government can either keep doing that or stop doing that. And the pundits have taken that and they put it in reverse. Frankly, your board of supervisors, your school board, your Registrar of Voters, those three will affect you more than whatever Biden does. Because remember, the states, for the most part, have to agree or not agree. So you have Newsom, who's probably going to agree. Now, there's a short video out that has been out. It's on Rumble. And I'm trying to think, do you remember the name of that first video that James did?
Oh, I don't remember the title.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the title.
I don't.
Anyway, the thing about that is that basically it discusses how Gavin Newsom could become president without a vote being casted. And the Republicans actually started that when Ford took over for Nixon and then pardoned Nixon, didn't he?
Well, Agnew was out and then Nixon was in and then Nixon was out and then Ford was in.
Yeah, no votes there.
Yeah, no votes. It happened once before, and that was a Republican Party.
It was. Anyway, looks like we've come to the end of our show. God bless you all. And remember, you need to take back the county. You need to take back the school boards, the Registrar of Voters. Time has come.
For 51.
We need to get it done.
Amen.
I got a feeling that tonight's going to be that tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. I feel it.
that tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night. Be there. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night. Be there.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.